Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the worst time of the year. I turn on my radio. No Charlie Steiner. No Rick Monday. Please, come back.
Oh, come on back.
Before you know it, they'll be back on the field at Camelback Ranch.
Why can't this be spring training?
But our coverage of the Blue never stops.
AM 570 LA Sports.
This is off-season Dodger Talk. Get in on the show by calling 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk. And now your host, David Vasse.
Different show, same Vasse. David Vasse with you on Dodger Talk until 8 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. Awesome, filling in for Petros today with Matt Money Smith. Appreciate them asking me, and I love those guys. So whether it's Petros or Matt, I don't care who I'm filling in for. I like spending time with those guys. Hope Petros feels better. Not COVID related, just a little under the weather. You know, when a guy eats as much as he does, things will happen. Yeah, when there's no discriminating what goes into your body when it comes to food, hey, you never know. Anyway, with you until 8 o'clock tonight, and I will take your phone calls. I know Matt and I did not take any of your calls. It's not the Petros and Money Show style, but we take phone calls here on Dodger Talk, 866-987-2570. Joe Amalfitano, a San Pedro legend, will join us at the bottom of the hour. And if you're a younger Dodger fan, you want to stay tuned for that as well. It'll be a great education on one of the great Dodger coaches who was part of Tommy Lasorda's staff for 10 years at least. And like I was telling Matt, in the NFL, coordinators are really valued. But in baseball, it doesn't seem like great third base coaches or bench coaches are valued. Pitching coaches seem to get the most value, and rightfully so. But a great third base coach like Joe Amalfitano can make a difference in a lot of different ways. Dino Ebel does that for the Dodgers now. Ron Renicke did that when he was a bench coach and a third base coach. So Joe Amalfitano is really the godfather of third base coaches with the Dodgers. He's Dino Ebel's mentor, Ron Renicke's mentor. Mike Socia learned a lot from Joe Amalfitano, and Tommy Lasorda leaned on him as his third base coach. So after 67 years in professional baseball, 87-year-old Joe Amalfitano called it a career last week, and we will celebrate a great man from San Pedro, who is one of the great third base coaches in baseball history. And really, I really believe this. Coaches like Amalfitano, Dino Ebel, Ron Renicke, those guys are not just coaches. They're not just there to supplement the manager. There are coaches like that. But these guys are difference makers. And like Matt was saying, you talk about an offensive coordinator, you talk about a Wade Phillips on the defensive side of the football. Those guys get paid as difference-making coaches. North Turner gets paid like a head coach because he's a great offensive mind. And for some reason in baseball, guys like that are valued by the people in the clubhouse and in the manager's office, but a lot of times it doesn't translate that way. Anyway, third base coaches, if they're a good one, can make a huge difference. And if you ask Dave Roberts or any player on the Dodgers the last couple of years, they'll tell you how much of a difference maker Dino Ebel has been. And it's a big reason why he has been a difference maker, because of what he learned in the Dodger organization from a coach like Joe Amalfitano. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. All right, let's talk about the hot stove. And let's start with Trevor Bauer. Everybody wants to know, is Trevor Bauer going to be a Dodger? Well, he's making YouTube videos, taking FaceTimes with fans that are Dodger fans and any other fan that'll talk to him. But here it is. I'll let you in on something that I've known about since December. There have been three teams that have seriously kicked the tires on Trevor Bauer. The Padres, who now are out after making the trades they've made for Snell, Darvish, and Musgrove. The Dodgers, to a lesser extent, have kicked the tires on Trevor Bauer, and the New York Mets. And now you're starting to hear more about the Mets. The Mets have had some bad PR in the last couple of weeks, and their owner has promised that fan base to make a big splash and get the best of the best on the market. Trevor Bauer is the best of the best of the starting pitchers on the free agent market, albeit thin. The Dodgers, Trevor Bauer would have to take the price that they want to give Trevor Bauer, and that is a short-term contract. I don't see the Dodgers offering Bauer more than 1 or 2 years maximum. And it seems like the reports out there are saying the Mets are willing to do more. So if they are, they're getting Trevor Bauer. It's similar to the Bryce Harper situation a couple of springs ago. Yeah, the Dodgers did their due diligence. And when he was still a free agent in spring training, they met with him. But they said they were offering this many years and these many dollars. That's it. And it centered around making him the highest paid player for that year, not total contract. And I feel like this is the same situation. So that's where it is with Trevor Bauer. Are the Dodgers talking to him? Yeah, they're keeping the lines of communication open, but are they going to give Trevor Bauer, you know, 5 years, $150 million like you hear him from the Mets? I don't believe so. They may very well turn out to do that, but I don't believe so. And the way people around baseball are looking at Trevor Bauer, and part of the reason why he hasn't had a flood of teams all over him this free agency, is because it's not just about how good of a pitcher he is, it's everything else that comes with him. The YouTube channel, the social media, all of that comes with Trevor Bauer. And it seems like he wants to make it a bigger empire. And a lot of teams are shying away from that. Should it matter? I guess I believe it should, because you're not just getting Trevor Bauer in a vacuum that pitches every fifth day. You're getting all of that. Now, from what I've been told by former teammates of Trevor Bauer, they like being teammates with him, and they learn things from Trevor Bauer. But I can understand the apprehension of certain teams that don't want to take on the baggage of the YouTube and the social media. 866-987-2570. When we continue here on Dodger Talk, we will get to your phone calls, and also I'll give you the latest on Justin Turner. I'll explain Kike going to Boston. Where is Jock Peterson going? And I'll dip my toe in the Hall of Fame debate. And don't forget, Joe Amalfitano, an education coming up at 7:30 right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Off-Season Dodger Talk. Call 866-987-2570. And now your host for Off-Season Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
David Bassett with you until 8 o'clock tonight here on Dodger Talk, right on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks again to Petros and Money for inviting me back to my roots to fill in with Matt Money Smith today. Petros, hopefully, will be back tomorrow. They're on from 2 to 4, the Flex Alert. Petros, his tummy wasn't feeling that good today, so I had to fill in for old P, which I'm happy to do. And Petros and his family will love our guest at 7:30. He's from San Pedro. He's one of the greatest third base coaches in baseball, one of the best baseball minds out there. Joe Amalfitano will join us at 7:30, who also loves Phil Trainey in Long Beach, so you can't forget about that. All right, a guy from Long Beach. Speaking of Long Beach, Justin Turner, his roots in Lakewood, Cal State Fullerton. We all know how much he's done for the Dodgers and Los Angeles on and off the field. Is he coming back to the Dodgers? I feel like he is, and I feel like it's playing in the Dodgers' favor every day that goes by, and he still hasn't signed with another team. Because that's telling me another team isn't stepping up to pay him what it would take to leave LA. And make no mistake about it, another team would have to make it worth his while to leave LA. I mean, come on. Justin Turner and the Dodgers, they're the best for each other. Now, why hasn't he signed yet? I don't know. Why has the market been as slow as it has been? Marcus Semien, who we talked about last week, has signed with the Blue Jays for a one-year, $18 million contract. We know DJ LeMahieu signed with the Yankees. So the options for the Dodgers at third base are starting to get a little thinner. I don't really see Chris Bryant being a better option than Justin Turner. I just don't see it. So Eugenio Suarez, Reds aren't trading him right now. So it would be Max Muncy or Edwin Rios. Ridiculous. Justin Turner is the best option for the Dodgers. And the one thing that nobody is taking into consideration when it comes to the Dodger offense this upcoming season is the health of Cody Bellinger and his shoulder. So you're telling me you're going to rely on Edwin Rios, Max Muncy, and any other combination of people at third base and first base when Cody Bellinger may not be A, ready for the season because of the shoulder surgery that he had during the offseason right after the World Series? He had shoulder surgery. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because I knew a guy that played for the Dodgers that had shoulder surgery, and he told me when he got traded to the Dodgers, he did not feel like himself for at least a full year. And that guy was Adrian Gonzalez. He told me the shoulder prevented him from having the power that we were used to seeing. Hanley Ramirez said the same thing. So if you're expecting Cody Bellinger to come back on opening day, April 1st, and be Cody Bellinger the MVP or even Cody Bellinger from last year, I think your expectations are really unrealistic. So there is another reason why you want to have somebody dependable in your offense if you aren't sure which Cody Bellinger you're going to have to start the year. And some people believe you may not see the Cody Bellinger we all know until the second half of next year. Another reason why Justin Turner is vital. 866-987-2570. All right, let's go out to Manny and Gardena. He's called, hung up three times. What's going on in your life, Manny? You can't stay on hold.
Hey, man, I'm shocked. First off, with the news that you've become Team Tofu Vegan, I mean, I almost drove off the road myself. Because I'm, hey, man.
Plant-based,
baby. I'm a carnivore, my man. I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm 80-20. I'm 80-20. I like to barbecue. I like to grill. So I'm 80-20, all right? You could still go out to a steakhouse with me, and we'll have a good time.
That's right. Hey, I was going to say, man, don't sleep on the fish, brother. If you want to eat healthier, that's the way to go, man.
Nah, I'm not a fish fan, but what do you got as far as the Dodgers go, Manny?
I tell you what, man, I got big ups, big props from my man Joe Amalfitano. I'm in San Pedro often, and his name is all over the place. He's a legend there. I remember him from my days as a kid. Great third base coach. But I got to come in here and get my man Justin Turner's back. If all he's asking is 4 for $40 million, I don't understand why we haven't signed on the dotted line, man. And I know people are saying he's old and this and that. I guarantee you, Dave, we would not have won that ring last year if there was no Justin Turner. So I feel that we need to re-up him, bring him back for the 4 years. Let's make it happen, man. I know I'm in the minority, but I'm all in with JT.
All right, Manny, thanks for the phone call. I'm not sure about 4 for $40 million, but I'm all in for bringing back Justin Turner. And I feel like there's a happy medium to be had. I could see 2 years plus a mutual option. Let's see where things are after 2 years. He'll be coming off his 38-year-old season. Let's see where it is, and let's see if there's a DH after 2 years. I feel like that's reasonable. But don't forget, Justin lost a lot of dough from his last free agent contract because of the 60-game prorated salary. So that's where he's at. That's why the Dodgers gave him the opportunity to see what's out there. And I guess they're still giving him that opportunity, but how long do you allow this to go? Where is the end game on this? And I feel like we're getting closer to it one way or the other. Now, as far as Jock Peterson goes, the White Sox were interested in him before they signed Adam Eaton. I know the Nationals are interested. The Braves, the Giants are interested in Jock Peterson. I just don't believe he's coming back to the Dodgers because they have so many left-handed hitters at a more cost-efficient salary, and there's no DH in the National League, so I just don't see how he fits. I feel like he's going to get an opportunity with another team, and it would be tough to see him in a Giants uniform, but he's from up there. He's from Palo Alto. It would make sense for him to go back home and play for the Giants. Farhan knows him really well, and Farhan has already taken Alex Wood, Tony Watson, and maybe now Jock Peterson. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, it will be the one and only Joe Amalfitano, who had 67 years in professional baseball, the majority of those years as a coach with the Dodgers under Tommy Lasorda. So looking forward to talking to Joe from San Pedro at 7:30. You're going to, if you don't know about Joe Amalfitano, it's going to be a good history lesson on what he's accomplished and how much you can learn just listening to him. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. One conversation I don't look forward to anymore, and I don't know if it's sacrilegious or not being a baseball radio host, is talking about the Hall of Fame every year. I am just so over debating the merits of players being in the Hall of Fame. And I am so over the debate over the morality clause in the Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame has to take accountability and not leave the writers in the lurch to hold the bag to decide whether or not a player is morally good enough to get into the Hall of Fame. It's enough to try to decide whether or not he's good enough to be in the Hall of Fame as a player. But now you want the writers to decide and to become the morality police. It's not their job. And it's unfair to put them in that spot. So I'm a big believer that if the Hall of Fame doesn't want Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame, don't even put them on the ballot. Stop the charade. You don't want them in there. It's very clear you are uncomfortable with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not just having a plaque in your museum, But what you really don't want to happen is Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens to be standing on that stage in front of the Hall of Famers that already have been inducted and having a ceremony to celebrate them. That's what they don't want. And if you don't want it, don't put them on the ballot. 866-987-2570. All right. I've said my piece on that. When we continue here on Dodger Talk, a man that has all the moral values and incredible integrity and one of the great baseball people that you will ever meet, the one and only Joe Amalfitano, will join us next right here on Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is World Champion Off-Season Dodger Talk. Still riding high from 2020. Call 866-987-2570. And now your World Champion broadcaster of the World Champion LA Dodgers, David Vasse.
Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, but we will get back to your phone calls in just a moment because we have a very special guest on the line. And if you're a Dodger fan, you have to know your history. And Dodger history doesn't just start and end with players. Guys that had a huge part in Dodger baseball over the years were coaches and managers. And we were just celebrating the life of Tommy Lasorda, who was a Hall of Fame manager for 20 years with the Dodgers. And tonight we are celebrating a man that spent 67 years in professional baseball. He just celebrated another birthday, and he was and is considered the greatest third base coach in the history of the Dodger organization and maybe even baseball. And I gotta tell you, a lot of people in San Pedro and Long Beach were really excited when I told them Joe Amalfitano was joining us tonight. So here he is. Everybody loves Joe. Joe Amalfitano, thanks a lot for coming on.
David, thank you for that nice introduction. My God, that was pretty good. I appreciate that very much. Nice that call and have me on the show. And San Pedro's my roots, born and raised there, did my schooling at St. Anthony's in Long Beach. Yeah, so I am familiar with both areas. I'm familiar with the whole Southern California. I grew up and raised there. And I must say my time with the Dodgers, under the O'Malley Dodgers, I'm going to clarify that, was probably the most enjoyable. It was the most enjoyable time in my baseball life, which was a great time for me.
Joe, I got to tell you, once I told some of the people down there in San Pedro and Long Beach, including Phil Traney and John Papadakis, they were all over me. I mean, I'm their favorite son now that I'm having you on the show.
Well, you're talking about two families that are the pillar of San Pedro. Mr. Tom Papadakis, John's father, what a man. I mean, a man of class and loyalty. He had it all. Great man. In fact, when I would lean on him for his advice on a lot of things, and he gave me some great guidance and direction. And then when you mentioned the Traney family, starting from the grandfather of those guys, is great Philip Felipe, the one that started it on 7th Street in San Pedro, and then it moved down below and then to the restaurant that they're in, and then Phil being over there in Long Beach. Yeah, great family. I must say this, it comes out of the kitchen real good there at those two restaurants.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. And you have a big part in the San Pedro Walk of Fame. Didn't you get Mike Socia to be inducted down there?
Well, I was there for his induction. Whether I had any influence, I don't know. But they picked a good one there. In fact, all those people that are down there, I believe Tommy's down there too. I know that because I was born and raised, and they just started the walk, that I was sponsored by the Traney family, if my memory serves me correctly. But I was over there for Mike's induction. it was great. And Mike's one of my favorites. Mike Socia, Ron Reneke, Mickey Hatcher, and Dino Ebo, who is now the present third base coach of the Dodgers. And he is the top of the class. The top of the class. He's very good at what he does.
And he has told me.
I think I can judge on that. I don't know if I can judge on a ball player, but I can judge on the guy that does the work at third base.
No doubt. Many people regard you as the best they ever saw there for many different reasons. But Dino told me that you were his mentor as he was coming up through the Dodgers minor league system as a player and then a coach and manager. How grateful are you that your legacy lives on through a guy like Dino Ebel and also Ron Reneke and Mike Socia when he was the manager? I mean, Joe Amalfitano is the fabric of their basis of baseball.
Well, that goes back with Mike and Reneke about being a coach there when they were still playing. And we had a lot of fun. Let me tell you about those two guys. You know, they're baseball men. Let aside from their skills, which they're major league players, and that's very difficult to do. It might seem easy for somebody sitting in street clothes, sitting in the stands, but it's a difficult thing to do. But what those two guys and Dino Ebo have in common, they got aptitude and retention. When it comes to the game of baseball, those guys have got that. And now the three of them have that instinct where there's no statistic to measure that instinct. You either have it or you don't have it. In the case of those three guys, they got it.
Joe, you were the third base coach for Tommy Lasorda for many years that he was the manager for the Dodgers. It would be hard-pressed not to ask you your fondest memories of the skipper.
The show's not long enough. No, the show's not long enough. We have to do a long show on that one because, you know, when I was called by Steve Brenner in the morning after his death, and he shared with me that Tommy had passed, and I knew that he was ill because I had spoken to him several times there at the end to Tommy. And when Steve shared that with me, I immediately turned the television on, and I did watch his MLB, and I was glued to it because of the still shots and the action shots of Tommy brought a lot of my great memories back between working for him and working with him. He really didn't work for him. He worked with him. This guy, there's no doubt, no question how much he loved baseball, how much he loves the Dodgers. And that stuff, like he used to say, cut my wrist, Dodger Blue would come out. That's true. That is true. He loved the Dodgers. And my best moments with him were when I would go in maybe on certain days to get the lineup from him, and he'd finish it. And his door was always open to his office. That was his philosophy. He would tell at the beginning of the year, my door is always open, meaning that the players could come in and go in and out of there as they wished if they had a problem. Naturally, if it had to be one-on-one, they'd shut the door. Well, there'd be occasions where he'd get done with the lineup, and he would get up and shut the door and lock it. And then he would start, I don't want to say, yeah, he kind of vented, you know, he did.
Yeah.
Things that would bother him that he would had to share with somebody, and he would share with me. Those were my precious moments with him. Yeah, really, really one-on-one stuff. I like that. And then, oh, God. There's so many stories, David. How in the world are we going to do that in 15, 20 minutes? I'm going to tell you one. I really like this one. It revolves around the both of us. When we'd go up to Candlestick, because that's where the Giants were playing at that time, and I know I was on the team and played in the first game that was ever played in Candlestick, and that ballpark wasn't real justice to the player's skills because of the wind and all the stuff that went on. Anyway, when you go up there to play the Giants, we would seem to have a rough time. And I, being a bit superstitious, I don't know about Tommy, but I am. So we walked out. I had a night game. We walked out together, and I walked from the door in right field, which was the dressing room exit, to the field, and then the field to the dugout on the third base side, which was a long walk. It was over a city block, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as he hit that door open, and now the fans that were already seated, and it's about 15 minutes before the first pitch, okay? They start expressing themselves, okay?
Yeah, right.
Kind of a negative manner. And then he would take his hat off and salute them and blow kisses to them, and they'd boo all the more, see? So I don't know if you ever seen it, but there was a movie that made at Candlestick, part of a movie was filmed at Candlestick. Was Robert De Niro was in this movie. And anyway, there was a sniper in the stands. And I always, when I walk in with him, you know, you hear these boos, and you don't know who's up there. It might be a little bit trigger happy or maybe a little bit insane. I said, you know, Tommy, this is kind of dangerous. What are you talking about? So we walk to the dugout, booze all the way from the door to the dugout. We win that night, David. We win. And the next night, you know, go out pregame practice, come back in the clubhouse, go back out for the games. Hey, we're going out together today. No, I don't want to make that walk with you. No. Well, you know, then he kind of challenged me. I said, okay, I'll go out with you. So we go and hit the door, and when you hit that door to exit onto the field, you're just about 3 or 4 or 5 yards at the most from the foul line in right field, if you could picture that. So we hit that foul line. You make immediate left to go towards home plate to the dugout on the third base side. Well, we hit that foul line. I went to dead center field. And I start trotting, and he goes, "Hey, where are you going? Where are you going?" So, and now I get out there and I take my time, and they are booing him to no end. And he's got that hat out, and he's blowing them kisses. And they enjoyed every minute of it. I got in the dugout, and I said, "You're unbelievable." I mean, that was to me a funny thing. But that's him. He loved that stuff. He loved it, and you know. He really, there's no greater motivator in my baseball life with talking to his players or his staff or nobody, I don't think, is better, be a better ambassador for the game of baseball. I know before him, it was probably Casey Stengel. We're going way back. But in my era, nobody better than Tommy. Nobody. Nobody sold the game better than Tommy.
No, you're 100% right, and the game missed him after he retired, and yeah, he was certainly a lightning rod for those Dodger-Giant rivalry games, Joe. You're 100% right.
Oh,
those are great memories.
I know when I went to work for the Giants after I had my wonderful time there with the O'Malley Dodgers, and I'll preface that again, he was upset. But he overcame that. There's two guys in my lifetime over there. Two guys, it's Vince Scully and Lasorda. When you say Dodgers, that comes to my mind, those two guys.
100%.
Vince Scully, what a daily double that is, you know? Yeah, both in the Hall of Fame for different reasons. Vinny, the best at what he did. The best, just simply the best. Vinny, what Vinny did was he just reported the game, which I think the audience can follow that a lot easier. Sometimes I think some of them forget to report it. They go in a different direction. I won't go there, but that's enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what we grew up with here in Los Angeles. We grew up with Chick Hearn, Vince Scully, and Bob Miller, and you could never, obviously you knew that they loved their teams, but they called it right straight down the line.
I can remember playing in the Coliseum. I was with the Giants, and that's when the club first came out there, both teams, and you could hear those little radios in the Coliseum. You could hear Vince's voice and the action, the game. I was on the field. You could hear it.
Yeah.
You know, your Malfitano goes after a ground ball or whatever, but you could hear it. And he was the teacher, and the audience were just students, and he taught them. He taught them.
That's how I learned baseball, growing up listening and watching Vince Scully.
You know, you could never get a better teacher than that. I'll tell you that. This guy, again, he just reported the game and did it better than anybody.
He is simply the best. The great Joe Amalfitano is with us on Dodger Talk tonight. And Joe, I got to ask you about the 1988 Dodgers. If you look back with Kirk Gibson rounding third base after that home run, you're leaping as high in the sky as anybody. What do you remember about that night, and especially when you saw Gibson come to the plate?
Well, I thought of that the day before, because we had the meeting to go over Oakland. Tommy decided to, and it was a great decision, to have the meeting the day before. Normally, when we open a series, which this is the World Series, we would have that team meeting to go over the pluses and minuses of the opposing team. In this case, it was Oakland. But he decided to have it the day before when they were a little bit more relaxed. And so we did, and we went over the whole team, the pluses and minuses again. And at the end, Tommy asked Jerry Stevenson, Steve Boros, and Mel Didier, who were on that Oakland team for about 5 to 6 weeks. So their report was quite lengthy and detailed. So he asked each one of them, after we went through this thing, who they were the architect of this report, if they wanted to add anything. And Mel Didier brought up about Dennis Eckersley, who was the prenum closer at that time. The game was on the line, you were a left-hand hitter, and you had a 3-2 count on you, he was going to throw you a backdoor slider. Well, that was the script. You know, that's what it came to be in the ninth inning. That's exactly what happened. And what did I think? You asked me, David, when I saw him. My vantage point of the tunnel going to the dressing room from the dugout, I could see him coming down. And then, you know, he wasn't coming down to... Well, so he wasn't coming down there to have a conversation. He was going to come down there to hit.
Yeah.
it was all history after that. But I will say this. I can remember this like it was yesterday. It was 3-1, and Tommy, again, Tommy had Mike Davis steal. If he gets thrown out, we go home. The first game, we lose.
That's right.
That takes a lot of... I don't know what numbers he had to figure all that out, because that's where the industry is now. It's all numbers. I don't know. Is that gut, heart? What is that? What does that come under? I'm asking you.
That's under the eyes and being prepared and understanding the situation.
Well, you betcha. Because, you know, Tommy didn't get enough credit, I think, in his career from the first pitch to the last pitch of a game. Anyway, Mike Davis, Tommy had him steal on a 3-1 count, and he's safe without a throw. Without a throw, okay? Now Gibby gets in at 3-2, okay? And what did Mel Didier say? 3-2, game online, Eckersley pitching, backdoor slider. Gibby's in the batter box with 1.5 legs. His leg was hurting him. So in the box, ready to pull the trigger, and he calls timeout and steps out. Do you remember the scene? I got a vivid picture of that.
I remember it.
I said to myself at that moment, that time, come on, get in there, Gibby. Let's find out if we can tie this thing up. Let's get a base hit and tie it. To myself. And now, here comes this pitch. He's on his front foot. He's got his hands back, and boom, here it comes. I watched Canseco. I watched the ball, then I left it. I watched Canseco, and I said to myself, my God, we just won this game. Because Canseco's body language, like 2 steps, and he stopped. I said, oh, my God, we won this game. So, you know, that's a famous, famous shot. Every World Series now is Gibby's home run. And I also was in uniform to see Willie Mays' catch in the Polo Grounds. So how lucky have I been? But anyway, now Gibby comes around, hobbling like Chester in Gunsmoke. He's just making it around the bases. He hits third. I was going to go to the plate, but all of our players and Tommy came out of that dugout, and I got about halfway, and I was going to join him. And I said to myself, oh, wait a minute. This one's going down in history. So I get to see myself every once in a while prior to the first game of the World Series when they leave that footage in there. But as I shook his hand, and my style was to shake your hand and hit you on your back, and I did it, and I was so excited. I hobbled with him. I hit him twice, and just when I was going to let go of his grip, he said, backdoor slider, Joe. My God, you know, I think about that every time I see that clip on TV. Every time. Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Backdoor slider, Joe. And there were some people that said that that report was bogus. That's not true. That was said. I have the report right here downstairs in my little manhole. I have that report that of each one of those players and what they did and all that. And it's not there in black and white, where this Mel Didier printed that in there, which was repeated by him in the meeting. Well, that's the story about that home run. That was one of the best. But you know what? We don't get there unless Socha hits his in New York.
That's right. Do you want to tell us? Yeah. I guess we'll have to have you on another night where you could tell us the story behind that home run, because there's more to that than meets the eye, right?
Oh, well, one thing, when he hit that home run, I know we did not win it, the series, but we were leading to it because that helped us. I remember looking up at heaven. I said, God, it's our turn. Not that Mike Socha couldn't hit a home run, but right there, God couldn't. And listen, when he walked John Shelby, I could still see Gooden's face, facial expression, when he did that, when he realized, what did I just do?
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah, two strikes, no balls, and walked him. Yeah. And then Socha, boom, yep. And then we went on in the 14th inning, and Gibby hit one off of Roger McDowell, I think.
I posted that photo to promote you coming on the show tonight from the great John Suhu, you giving that back slap to Kirk Gibson in Game 5 of the NLCS, Joe. I'll send it to you.
I got it right in my room down here with his nice wording that he put on there that's very treasured by me. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah, that's a great teaser. I had some great moments there. Oof. And I didn't play, but I just had some wonderful times. Those guys, all of that 88 team, if there was ever a team that was together to pull for one another, were we the most talented? And no. More desire? I would say yes.
That was my team. And that was the most special summer of my life as far as baseball goes, that 1988 Dodgers team. Will never be forgotten, Joe, and you were a big part of it. And 67 years in professional baseball, you're right, 20 minutes is not enough, so we're going to have you on the show again.
Well, I'd be more than honored to do it. Listen, when you see John or Phil, you please give him my regards, and you take care of yourself, and God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for coming on, and many people love you and care about you, so thanks a lot.
Well, I can't say enough about the fans. They were very kind to me there. Not that I, again, what did I do? Just wave them in or tell them to slide. I got a few guys thrown out, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It sure was. The special years. And Joe Amalfitano, his legacy lives on through his pupil, Dino Ebel, with the Dodgers today. Joe, we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Good luck to you, David.
There he goes. Joe Amalfitano. We could have gone until 9 o'clock with Joe Amalfitano. 67 years in professional baseball and a wealth of knowledge. How about that? 87 years young. He just turned 87 last weekend. He is a really special part of Dodger history, and that's why I wanted to share him with you. And for those that remember him, number 8 in the third base coaching box during the 80s and 90s while Tommy was the manager, he was a really special part of the success the Dodgers had. And as you can hear, just a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of history. He was actually on the Cubs the night that Sandy Koufax pitched his perfect game. He was on deck. He was going to face Koufax, or he faced Koufax right before Harvey Keene. So Joe Amalfitano, a great guy. And like I mentioned a few times during that interview, he definitely is the godfather of third base coaches for the Dodgers. And, you know, it doesn't just stop and start with guys like Mike Socha, Mickey Hatcher, Ron Renicki, and Dino Ebel. You talk to Rick Monday. Rick Monday has told me many occasions that Joe Amalfitano was the best third base coach he ever had in his, 16, 17 years in Major League Baseball. So that says a lot, because Rick wasn't just a Dodger, he played for the Cubs as well. So he knows
a lot of different sides of different organizations. So that says a lot. And it was awesome having Joe on the show. And if you missed any of the interview, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app. That'll do it for me. I think you've heard enough of me since 3 o'clock. I was happy to fill in for Petros today. Hopefully he's back tomorrow for a flexed out Petros and Money show tomorrow from 2 to 4 o'clock. Thanks to Colin Yee. Don't forget, Colin, you're still the Dodgers engineer, okay? I know Petros and Money love you. You're coming home when baseball starts. Colin Yee, there's a reason why everybody loves him here. He's awesome. Great smile, great energy. Thanks, Colin. Thanks to Tim Cates for his help as well throughout the entire afternoon. And thanks to you for listening. Like I said, Joe Malfitano, Dodger Talk, Petros and Money, find it all on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. We'll be back with you next Monday at 7 o'clock. We'll try to get a 2020 World Series champion on the show Monday night. Have a great rest of your week. Have a great night. See ya.